Imagine you're at the helm of a trillion-dollar tech company.
Right, just a casual Tuesday.
Yeah, just a regular Tuesday. And you proudly announce to the world that you are pouring $2.5 billion into a brand new artificial intelligence venture.
I mean, that is a massive number.
It really is. But then fast forward to Thursday of that exact same week, and you are actively preparing to fire over 5,000 of your own employees.
It's just wild.
Welcome to the deep dive. I am so glad you're joining us today because, well, if you've been following the gaming or tech industry lately, you know things are getting chaotic. Today, we have a fascinating stack of sources in front of us.
Oh, definitely.
We're looking at internal industry reports, leaked financial analysis, and some seriously fiery tech editorials, all from the first week of July 2026.
It is a wild stack of reading for sure.
Our mission today is to figure out what on earth is happening at Microsoft. We're looking at a 24-year gaming history with Xbox, and it has seemingly culminated in this bizarre high-stakes collision.
Yeah, it really has.
On one hand, you have massive investments in AI. On the other, the potential shutdown of some of the most legendary, critically acclaimed video game studios on the planet.
And, you know, as we go through the research you shared, it becomes clear that this isn't just a story about video games.
Right.
This deep dive is fundamentally about a clash of two entirely different worlds. On one side, you have the unyielding, ruthless math of cloud economics.
Yeah.
And on the other, you have the intangible, deeply unquantifiable value of human creativity.
Absolutely.
Right now, those two forces are essentially at war inside Microsoft.
Okay, let's unpack this timeline, because the three-week window from mid-June to early July 2026 feels, I mean, almost contradictory.
Contradictory is a good word for it.
Let's go back to June 15th. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella put out a post on LinkedIn. He introduced this phrase that was clearly supposed to sound visionary, but it immediately went viral for all the wrong reasons.
Why?
Yeah, he wrote, quote, "The future of the firm is a learning loop in which human capital and token capital compound." I have to be honest, when I read token capital, my brain just pictured like arcade tokens or maybe cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
What is he actually talking about here?
Yeah, it's a term that has completely consumed the tech industry since he posted it. But to understand it, we really have to look at how AI actually functions at an enterprise level. Have you heard the term foundation model in your reading?
I see it thrown around in tech articles all the time, yeah. But I never fully grasp what it practically means for a business.
So think of a foundation model as a giant generic brain. It's a massive AI system trained on the open internet, and anyone can read access to it.
Okay, so like a rental brain.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a massive company like Microsoft, you don't just want a generic brain. You want a specialized brain that knows exactly how your specific business operates.
Gotcha.
So token capital is the value of your own proprietary AI capability. Nadella is talking about building internal AI systems that are trained on the company's own private data, their own code, and most importantly, the daily feedback from their own human employees.
Okay, so the human employees are the human capital.
Yes.
And they are constantly teaching and refining this proprietary AI, which is the token capital.
Exactly. You create a continuous learning loop. The human provides the judgment, the creative spark, the institutional knowledge.
Right.
The AI learns from it, optimizes it, and then feeds it back to the human to make them faster. The two sides compound, making the company more powerful over time.
Wow.
And this exact philosophy is the driving force behind the Microsoft Frontier Company, which they just launched on July 3rd with that staggering $2.5 billion investment.
Conceptually, I mean, I get it. It sounds like this incredibly efficient tech utopia. But practically, here's how I'm visualizing this based on the timeline we just established.
Let's hear it.
Imagine you run a high-end restaurant. You buy this million-dollar robotic kitchen, and you stand in the dining room giving a speech about how your brilliant Michelin star chefs are going to train this robot every single day.
Oh, this is a great analogy.
Right. You tell everyone that the chef's instincts and the robot's speed are going to compound. But while you're giving this speech, your security guards are actively escorting half your chefs out the back door with their belongings in a cardboard box.
That is actually a very grounded way to look at the mechanics of what just happened, because the context from our sources shows why the timing of Nadella's post caused such an uproar.
Because it didn't happen in a vacuum.
Precisely. Microsoft had already executed two massive waves of layoffs earlier in 2025, cutting roughly 15,000 people.
Which is already a huge loss of that human capital he was praising.
Yeah, exactly. So look at the sequence. June 15th, Nadella philosophizes about humans and AI compounding. July 3rd, they launch the $2.5 billion AI company.
And then boom.
Right. And then, expected on July 6th, which is the start of their new fiscal year reports, indicate they're gearing up to announce layoffs of roughly 5,000 to 5,700 more employees.
Wow. So within 3 weeks, they went from highlighting how humans are essential to train the machines to just eliminating the humans.
It's just under 2.5% of their workforce. And it is hitting the Xbox gaming division disproportionately hard.
It makes total sense why that one former developer's tweet went viral. You know, the one that said, apparently my human capital didn't compound enough.
That was brutal.
So brutal. But I want to move away from the big aggregate numbers for a second, because the sources dig into exactly who is on this chopping block. And if you're listening to this and you play video games, this list is going to sound deeply alarming.
Yeah, it's not just middle management or redundant administrative roles.
Mm.
They are targeting the creative engines of the company.
Right. According to industry reporters, the studios currently in intense negotiations just to avoid complete closure are some of the most beloved in the industry.
It's a heavy list.
We are talking about Double Fine, the studio that made Psychonauts, Compulsion Games, Undead Labs, Arcane Lion, who gave us incredible games like Dishonored and Deathloop.
And they are supposed to be working on a massive Marvel's Blade game right now.
Exactly. And then there is Ninja Theory. And this is where I'm genuinely struggling to square the logic.
Yeah.
Ninja Theory just released Hellblade 2 a couple of months ago. It is a visual masterpiece. It got fantastic reviews, sitting at an 81 on Metacritic.
It really is stunning.
So how does a studio make exactly what Microsoft asked them to make, like a prestige, award-worthy piece of art, and still end up on the brink of closure?
What's fascinating here is that this brings us to the brutal math of modern game development. The definition of success has fundamentally changed.
Okay, how so?
Well, you mentioned Hellblade 2 as a critical darling. But if we look at the estimates from Ampere Analysis in your sources, the game only sold about 1.8 million copies.
Let me stop you there, because to anyone outside the gaming industry, selling almost 2 million copies of something sounds like a massive runaway success.
It really does.
Like, if you sold 2 million books, you'd be on top of the New York Times bestseller list for a year.
You absolutely would.
Mm-hmm.
But books don't require a team of 200 software engineers, 3D modelers, and motion capture actors working in an office for 5 straight years.
That is a very fair point.
The sources estimate that Hellblade 2 had a development budget of around $50 million.
Okay, let's do some quick napkin math here.
Go for it.
If they sold 1.8 million copies, and let's say the game costs $50, isn't that $90 million in revenue?
Sure, on paper.
Wouldn't that easily cover a $50 million budget?
It seems like it, but you have to factor in all the hidden costs that eat into that gross revenue. Microsoft doesn't keep all $50.
Oh, right, the storefronts.
Yeah, if a player buys it on a digital storefront like Steam, the storefront takes a 30% cut right off the top.
Ouch.
And if they buy a physical copy at retail, you lose money to manufacturing, shipping, and the retailer's margin. Then you have to factor in tens of millions of dollars in global marketing campaigns, server costs, licensing fees.
So it all just gets chipped away.
Exactly. By the time that revenue actually trickles back to the Xbox division, selling 1.8 million copies leaves you with a massive financial hole.
Yeah.
It is an artistic triumph, but on a spreadsheet, it is a commercial failure.
That is wild. So it's not about making a good game. It's about making a game that scales to an impossibly high financial bar.
Bingo. And you mentioned Arcane's Marvel's Blade game earlier. They are facing a different but equally fatal metric time.
Right, the delays.
So the reports indicate that the game's budget is ballooning.
Yeah.
And it has been internally delayed from a late 2026 release all the way out to late 2027.
So if you're a Microsoft executive looking at these studios, you just see massive overhead costs without any justifiable immediate return on investment.
That's exactly what they see.
But there is one glaring exception on this list of endangered studios that caught my eye. Jason Schreier reported that Obsidian Entertainment, the legendary team behind Fallout New Vegas, is entirely safe.
Yes, they are.
They aren't in negotiations. They are secure. Why do they get a pass while everyone else is fighting for their lives?
It really just comes down to pipeline dependency. Obsidian is currently building a game called Avowed. It's a massive first-person role-playing game scheduled for release in February 2027.
Okay, so it's coming out soon.
Crucially, it is one of the very few major exclusive games Xbox actually has lined up to sell their consoles over the next 2 years.
Oh, I see. So it's just about proximity to the finish line.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
If Microsoft cancels Avowed and shuts down Obsidian today, they blow a massive hole in their own upcoming release calendar.
And they have to have something to put on store shelves.
Precisely. Obsidian is safe because their product is too close to being finished, and it has the potential to spawn sequels.
Which brings up something that has been bugging me throughout this entire deep dive. If making a universally beloved game like Hellblade 2 isn't enough to save a studio from the chopping block, then the problem isn't the studios.
No, it's not.
The problem has to be the underlying business model of Xbox itself.
That is the core issue. Mm-hmm. And to really grasp how broken the model is, we have to zoom out. We can't just look at Xbox. We have to look at the financial realities of the broader Microsoft ecosystem.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. I was looking at the actual financial breakdown for fiscal year 2025, and I genuinely thought I was misreading the numbers.
Which is pretty shocking.
It says the Xbox gaming division generated $21 billion in revenue. That is an astronomical amount of money coming through the door.
It is a massive river of cash. But revenue is just what comes in. Mm. You know, operating profit is what you actually keep after you pay all your expenses.
Right.
Out of that $21 billion in revenue, Xbox only kept about $500 million in operating profit.
Wait, so they spend $20.5 billion just to make $500 million?
Yes. That translates to a profit margin of roughly 2.4%.
2.4%. I mean, you can put your money in a basic high-yield savings account right now and get a better return than that.
And that is exactly how the investors view it. Now, compare that 2.4% to the rest of Microsoft's divisions.
Let's hear it.
The Azure Cloud division operates at a roughly 32% profit margin. The Azure AI division, over 41%. Office 365 is at 42%.
Oh, wow.
So when leadership is sitting in a boardroom deciding where to allocate their capital, a 2.4% return on gaming looks like an absolute liability compared to the money printing machine that is the AI division.
I keep picturing Xbox as this massive blockbuster movie theater.
Okay, go on.
If you walk into the lobby, it looks like a booming business. The lines are out the door, the seats are packed, everyone is buying popcorn.
Tons of foot traffic.
Exactly. But after the theater owner pays the movie studios for the rights to show the film, pays the staff, the electricity, and the rent on the massive building, they are only making 2 cents on every dollar that comes in.
That's a great visual.
Meanwhile, in the tiny office behind the theater, the AI division is running a server that generates 41 cents of pure profit on every dollar with a fraction of the overhead.
That illustrates the disparity perfectly.
Hmm.
And to make matters worse, Xbox's big master plan to fix this margin, the Game Pass subscription model, has seemingly hit a wall.
Let's talk about Game Pass, because for years, the narrative was that Game Pass was going to be the Netflix of gaming. It was supposed to guarantee a steady, massive stream of recurring revenue.
And for a while, it drove incredible growth. But our sources note that Game Pass has essentially plateaued at roughly 34 million subscribers, and it has been stuck there since early 2024.
Really? Just completely ceased stuck?
Yeah. They even raised the price to try and squeeze more profit out of the existing user base, but the actual audience isn't growing.
Why not? I mean, if Netflix can get hundreds of millions of subscribers, why is Game Pass stuck at 34 million?
Because consuming video games is fundamentally different from consuming television. You can binge a whole season of a Netflix show in a weekend.
Right. Easily.
But a single massive video game can take 80 or 100 hours to finish. Most consumers simply do not have the free time to play enough games to justify a permanent year-round subscription.
That makes total sense. Once they realize they're paying $20 a month just to slowly play one game, they cancel.
Exactly. And this plateau is happening while their legacy blockbuster franchises, the games that used to sell millions of consoles, are stumbling.
Like Halo and Gears of War.
Yeah, Halo, Gears, Forza, they just aren't hitting the cultural footprint they used to. They spent over $76 billion acquiring publishers like Bethesda and Activision Blizzard, and they still haven't produced an exclusive system-selling mega hit on the scale of a Grand Theft Auto.
So if exclusives aren't selling the Xbox hardware and the Game Pass subscription model is stalled out, what is the strategy? How does Microsoft plan to fix a 2.4% profit margin?
Well, by fundamentally changing what it means to be Xbox, The sources indicate that Microsoft's solution is to end the era of the console exclusive entirely. Yeah, they are pivoting to a multi-platform strategy. We are already seeing them port previously exclusive games like Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves over to their biggest rival, the PlayStation 5.
That is huge.
And there are very strong rumors that massive titles like Starfield and Indiana Jones are going to follow.
So they are essentially waving the white flag on the console war.
They are realizing that limiting a $200 million game to just the Xbox audience is financial suicide. The new strategy is scale.
Okay, so get it in front of as many people as possible.
Exactly. They don't want medium-sized, highly artistic studios making niche games for one specific plastic box. They want massive, multi-billion dollar franchises that they can sell to everyone everywhere. You know, PlayStation, PC, mobile, Nintendo.
Got it.
If a studio like Arcane or Ninja Theory doesn't fit that massive, multi-platform, endless engagement scale, the spreadsheet views them as expendable.
But this is where the logic of the spreadsheet completely divorces from reality. The math might make perfect sense to a shareholder looking for a quick bump in margins, but to the people actually making and playing the games, it feels like cultural vandalism.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you look at the sources, the backlash isn't just a few angry tweets. It is organized, industry-wide outrage.
It really is unprecedented.
Within hours of these rumors breaking, the hashtag SaveArcane was dominating social media. Fans put together a petition that gathered 50,000 signatures in a matter of days.
People were incredibly upset.
But the most striking pushback came from inside Microsoft itself. Over 200 current and former employees signed an open letter on GitHub directly targeting that token capital quote from the CEO.
I read that letter. It was intense.
Very intense. They wrote, and I quote, "Closing game studios while launching AI companies sends a clear message. Microsoft values machines over people."
Which is a devastating critique of the company's culture. You also have prominent industry analysts warning that by closing these studios to save a few bucks in the short term, Microsoft is permanently destroying decades of irreplaceable institutional knowledge.
I want to play devil's advocate here for a second, though.
Sure, let's hear it.
Let's look at this purely from Microsoft's perspective.
Huh.
They are spending over $100 billion on AI and cloud infrastructure this year.
Yeah, huge investments.
They are dropping $40 billion just on NVIDIA chips. Couldn't a Microsoft executive argue that this massive investment in AI will eventually solve the gaming division's problem?
In what way?
Couldn't they say, look, if we build these incredible AI tools, we can eventually make game development so much faster and cheaper that we won't need $50 million budgets anymore?
Yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's a common tech industry argument. But it completely misunderstands the mechanics of how art is created. Game development is not a math problem. You can't just throw an optimization algorithm at it and expect a masterpiece. It requires human intuition, highly subjective taste, emotional risk-taking, and a specific creative vision.
Because you can't prompt an AI to know what feels fun to a human.
Exactly. When you close a studio like Arcane, you aren't just deleting a few lines of code or saving on office rent. You are actively destroying a highly specific creative chemistry.
Right. It's a team of people.
These are groups of human beings who have spent 20 years learning how to build intricate, magical worlds together. They share a collective wisdom that AI cannot replicate.
It's about the soul of the game.
AI is fantastic at optimizing a repetitive process, but it cannot synthesize a soul. No foundation model in the world can spit out the weird, brilliant spark that created a game like Psychonauts.
So what does this all mean? If you're listening to this right now, whether you are a gamer, an independent developer, or just someone fascinated by how tech monopolies operate, what should you take away from all this?
Well, the analysts in our sources actually break down some very direct advice based on this new reality.
Yeah. First, if you are a gamer and you want these unique, highly creative studios to survive,
yeah,
you have to support them directly. Relying on a subscription like Game Pass is actively hurting them.
It really is.
Why? Because subscription models pay developers based on engagement, you know, how many hours players spend in the game. If a studio makes a beautiful, tightly paced 10-hour narrative experience like Hellblade 2, they get financially penalized in a subscription model compared to a massive, endless multiplayer game designed to waste your time.
Right. The metrics just don't favor art.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Buying the game directly is the only way to prove to the corporate spreadsheet that the art actually has value. And second, for the developers listening, the lesson here is terrifying, but it's clear.
Definitely.
Avoid exclusive deals at all costs. Building your game for only one platform is a massive liability. If you tie your studio's survival to the success of one console, you could be shut down the moment a corporate executive decides to pivot their strategy to cloud computing.
It's a harsh new world. Exclusivity used to be the ultimate badge of honor, a sign that a major publisher believed in you. Now, it's just a financial trap.
We are watching a fascinating and, frankly, tragic pivot unfold in real time.
Microsoft is chasing the astronomical 40% profit margins of artificial intelligence, and they seem entirely willing to sacrifice the human talent that made their gaming division so beloved in the first place just to fund those servers.
And that reality leaves us with one final, deeply important question to consider, one that goes right to the heart of that token capital philosophy.
I'm curious to hear it.
Nadella claims that human capital and token capital must compound together. The AI absolutely relies on proprietary human data, human feedback, and human knowledge to learn and become valuable.
Right, the learning loop.
But if a company systematically fires its most visionary artists, its biggest risk takers, and its most experienced creators to pay for the AI, who is going to be left to generate the original, brilliant ideas that the machines need to learn from?
Without the humans pushing the boundaries of what is possible, doesn't the AI's learning loop just become a closed echo chamber? Ultimately, doesn't it just become a dead end?
It's a haunting mechanical flaw in their entire philosophy. If you remove the human input, the compounding loop just stops.
Exactly.
It is a brilliant point and something I think we will all be watching very closely as the rest of this year unfolds. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We love exploring these complex, shifting stories with you, and we warmly invite you back for the next one. Take care.